while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So today, as I said, is the third and final sermon in our series, Beyond Logic. As directed by the Holy Spirit, Pastor Manuela was the one that created this series as a means of calling us, causing us to examine our thoughts, examine our assumptions, our conclusions when it comes to the things of God. And this series deals with the what I will call the back to frontness, you know, the almost contradictory nature of God's calling on our lives. This series, we go beyond logical understanding, you know, because the things of God require faith, and sometimes faith and logic are at odds with each other. So this series, I said, we go beyond logical understanding in a way of holding on to God's teaching that in order to be at the front, you need to be at the back. You know, you go to the back if you want to go to the front. If you want to go to the front, the back, you go to the front. You know, if you want to be exalted, humble yourself. If you want to be humbled, elevate yourself. In week one, as Karis touched on earlier on, I'm not going to go into details because Karis did that. Pastor Manuela opened up the series with the title Losing to Win. Elder Isaac continued last week with Giving to Gain, and he challenged us to examine the price that we're willing to pay for who we should be. And today, the title is Dying to Live. And I'm sure we sort of, kind of, ish, in a way, understand what the title is implying. However, I want to ask a serious question. I want to start with this question, and I think I know the answer. You, of course, will know the answer to my question. So when you think about life and the life that you're living, when you think about you as a human being and the things that you're trying to achieve, think about your friends, your family, the people around you, your experiences, the relationships you've got, and you think about the potential that is ahead of you, Seriously, right now, how many people would like to die? Okay. No hands went up. And in some regards, I'm not surprised at that answer. You know, it's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Not a lot of people see death as a desirable thing. And I absolutely understand why. Totally understand why. Of course, the text and the context of what we're dealing with, in some regards, it's about discipleship, right? So let me ask an easier question. How many people here would like to be a faithful disciple of Jesus? You'd like to be a faithful disciple of Jesus. Okay, interesting. Not every hand went up as well. I don't know why, but some people are wondering, I don't know, I'm not sure about this Jesus guy. That's okay. So thank you for your answers. So let's look at this topic. Let's look at where we go from here. Even though it hasn't felt like it in the last few days, even today, you know, we're officially in summer, you know. Yeah, I know, I can hear the laughter. Some of you are wondering how I'm interpreting that word, summer. But we are officially, hey, it's British summer. Calm down. Yeah, 11 degrees is summer in this country. You know, when it stops raining, that's summer, yeah? And it's around this time of the year, summertime, people start planning holidays. We had the privilege in May, during the May half term, we had the privilege of going to Turkey for the first time. It was really wonderful. It's actually officially the best holiday that we have had, that we've been on as a family. It was wonderful. But those of you who go on holiday all the time, you realize that sometimes things don't go to plan. Sometimes, you know, you go on holiday, you know, all sorts of stuff, you know, life be lifing. Yeah, between the people, the weather, the situation, the circumstances, sometimes you don't get the cooperation that you need to get the best experience out of your holiday. Sometimes it's the packing, it's the traveling, sometimes it's the this or the that, the expenses. And you leave yourself wondering, you find yourself wondering, is it even worth it? Was it worth me going on that holiday? But here's the thing. Because we had one bad holiday experience, do we stop going on holiday? Do we say, right, I'm never going to go on holiday in all my, you know, do we do that? Of course not. Do we say, you know what, the best way to do a holiday next time is I'm going to pay somebody. I'm going to pay for their ticket, pay for their hotel, get them an all-inclusive stay. Yeah. And they can go on the sites. They can experience it. They can enjoy it. They can endure the pain. And then when they finish with their holiday, they can come back and tell me how it was. And I'll tell them whether it was a good holiday or not a good holiday. We don't do that with our holidays, you know. The truth of it is you have to go on the journey for you to experience it yourself. Sadly, though, we do this sometimes with our Christian walk. We do. We know we're meant to spend time with God. We're meant to spend time praying, reading the scripture, in fellowship, in worship, listening to God. But sometimes it's a lot easier to just let somebody else do it. Let somebody else go to the prayer meeting. And sometimes it's better, particularly somebody who's better than us. Somebody who's more senior than us. After all, as a church, that's why we have the leaders. That's why we have the pastors. Come on. You know, the leaders can go and do the praying. They can, don't worry, when you pray, I'll say amen, right? You know, after all, that's what they're for. So saints, let me remind you, God doesn't want you to settle for living your faith through somebody else's experience. He doesn't want that for you. He wants you to experience firsthand the joy of salvation. Hey, even the pain of salvation. How many people here have never had a problem since you became a Christian? Again, for those of you online, zero hands went up. Sometimes, in fact, after you became a Christian, that's when the problem started. So on one hand, you know, God wants us to experience firsthand the intimacy with him, the intimacy of relationship, but also, honestly, the pain of relationship, because sometimes that's what comes in relationship. On one hand, we've got those people who haven't moved into a deeper understanding of discipleship because they want somebody else to do it with them. On the other hand, sometimes we have people who want it all immediately. You know, right, I'm a Christian now. Come on, here we go. How do I get straight into this? You know, we live in a get it now society. Yeah, we didn't even get it now. Who wants news? There's an app for that. You know, you get it now. Yeah, I mean, I read something earlier on about a guy who went to America and was, you know, for the first time. This is in the 70s. He went there for the first time, and he was talking about how, you know, we have milk powder. If you want milk, just add water, right? We got milk powder. He talked about, you know, sometimes you can even. We have egg powder. A lot of caterers use egg powder. It's powder. You want scrambled egg? Just add water. Yes? Orange juice. There's juice powder. You want orange juice? Just add water. Correct? So what happens if I add water to baby powder? Do I get a baby? You know what? Excuse me. One of the most basic assumptions that we make where it concerns life change is that it happens instantaneously. It happens like that, you know, particularly where it concerns our salvation. And if you're following this belief, it means that as soon as somebody gives their life to Christ, there's an immediate, instantaneous, substantive transformation in their lives. There's this assumption that that's how it works. I become a Christian, bam, my whole life has changed. All this miraculous change in my habits, my disciplines, my attitudes, my character, bam, one go, changed. Saints, as much as discipleship is a process of growth, we must choose that process. We must walk in it, and we must fully understand that it comes at a price. Earlier on, I asked how many of you would like to die. And of course, no hands went up. Yeah, no one really wants to die. And I could tell, you know, people are like, nah, I don't want that for my life. A few moments later, I asked, does anybody want to be a faithful disciple? Most hands went up. And the hands going up are an indication that it's something that we want, to be a faithful disciple. Now I have a third question. My third question is, what's the difference between those two questions? We say we don't want to die, and yet we say we want to be a faithful disciple of Jesus. how can those two desires coexist? How can you answer no to one of these questions and answer yes to the other question? How? You cannot, saints, be a disciple of Jesus without carrying the cross. The cross was an implement of execution. It's a symbol of death. How can you avoid death and embrace discipleship? How can you embrace discipleship and avoid death? The truth, the gospel truth, is that you cannot. In the Christian context, the way to discipleship is the cross. The way to live as a disciple is to die to self. Amen? You know, next Sunday, there are four people, a minimum four people, you know how God does his own thing, minimum of four people will come here and go under the waters of baptism next Sunday as a means of demonstrating that they identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And saints, let me tell you again, you know, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. Without death, there's no resurrection. Day before yesterday, during the baptism class, we discussed the idea, the issue, the concept, the thought of dying to self so that we may live to Christ, right? And each of them shared things that they felt needed to die. They all talked about things, as they go down into the water, they all talked about things that will die in the water. Things they're going to take into the baptism waters that are going to stay down there and not come back up. They're going to be left in the water. And I want to encourage you, listen, whether you've been baptized or not, I want to encourage you, come next Sunday, come and be a witness to these things. Yeah? Anyway, so we talked about the things that need to die, the things that need to stay in the water. And here's a list of the things that they talked about. They talked about fear, sin, unforgiveness, bad habits, indiscipline, unforgiveness, lack of self-control, unforgiveness, being manipulated, holding on to hurt, disappointment, low self-esteem, unforgiveness, people-pleasing, feeling intimidated, unforgiveness, worry, procrastination, weariness, unbelief, unforgiveness. They talked about doubt, about resentment, and yes, you guessed it, unforgiveness. When you look at this list of things that the baptism candidates are saying, these things must die in my life. When you look at this list, what would you add to this list? What needs to die in your life for you to live as a disciple of Jesus? Truly, truly live as a disciple of Jesus. Look at this list. What would you add? What do you need to nail to the cross of Jesus? What needs to be crucified? What needs to be executed in your own life? Let me explain. Let me point out, you know, some of these things about the gospel life, the life that Jesus is calling us to live, the life that Jesus is calling us to follow. Many people, I'm so sorry, a lot of churches, you know, they endorse, they subscribe to this, you know, this PR campaign thing where they promote what's been referred to as the easy gospel. Let me tell you what happens in the easy gospel. And honestly, Jesus doesn't want you to follow this. Yeah, it's not what he's calling us to. In fact, let me be clear, the easy gospel is not actually the gospel. That's not the gospel. Just because there are Bible verses that people use sometimes to back up what they're doing and make their point doesn't make it the gospel. So let's get our theology straight. You know, let me point out, the things that you get when you go for the easy gospel, you get easy health, you get easy wealth. You know, one scripture verse is enough and it's all yours. That's all you need is one scripture verse. You don't need to read the Bible. If you remember one scripture verse, hey, that's it. That's all you need. With the easy gospel, you can pray yourself into a 7-bedroom mansion. With the easy gospel, you can pray multi-million pounds into your bank account. You know, I was telling somebody just the other day, and I'll say it now, I do not ever want to have multi-million pound bank account. So I'm saying it publicly. Some people are thinking, what? No, pastor. Hold on a sec. I want you to imagine a scenario that somebody tells you, I've got 10 million pounds in the bank. What does it say about me? Some of you here are struggling to find a job, and I've got 10 million in the bank. Some of you are struggling to pay your rent, pay your mortgage, and I've got 10 million in the bank. Some of you, your business is on the edge. There's too much month left at the end of your money. You're saying, Lord, Lord, remember me. And I've got 10 million in our bank. Some of you are looking for somebody to make an actual investment in who you are. Some of you have got debts, student debts. I'm not talking about indiscipline debt. Nah, that one, you go get discipline. Yeah, I said it. Yeah. Some of you have got debts to your eyeballs because you made some dumb choices in your past. And all you need is someone to come alongside you who believes you, who will walk with you. And I've got 10 million in my bank account. What does that say about me? Some of you are struggling. You're trying to move home. If only you had the 500 pound deposit. And I've got 10 million in my bank account. What does it say about me? See, with the easy gospel, you can rest without any requirements. You can get blessings with no burdens. Your spiritual enemies can die and be defeated without any spiritual battles. With the easy gospel, you get the triumph without the trials. You get the testimony without the test. You get healing with no heartache. Your healing just happens. You don't need to go for test after test after test, surgery after surgery, one doctor after the next, prodding you and poking you, making you feel like a piece of meat in that hospital. No. With the easy gospel, you don't go through that journey. You get movement without payment. You get success without sacrifice. You can get anything and you don't have to give anything. In our text, Jesus turns all of that on his head. He helps us to understand this so-called easy gospel is a distortion of the real gospel. It's a distortion of what it means to follow Jesus. The easy gospel is Christ without the cross. It's Christianity without commitment. Is this what Jesus came to bring? Is this what Jesus died for? Easy gospel. No, PHBC family, saints of God, that is not the true gospel. The gospel calls us, in fact, requires us to bring everything to him. It's all or nothing, no holding back. C.S. Lewis talked about, you know, what Jesus is demanding of us. He says, Jesus is telling us, give me all. I don't want this much of your money or this much of your work. I don't want this much of your time. I want you. He says, Jesus is saying, I've not come to torment your flesh or torment your fleshly ways. I've not come to torment your natural self. I have come to kill it. I've not come to accept half measures from you. A half measure is not good enough. When I look at your life and the growth in your life, I don't want to cut off a branch here and cut off a branch there. I want to cut the whole tree down, Jesus is saying. I don't want to drill a hole in a tooth. I don't want to fill your tooth. I don't want to crown your tooth. I want to take it out. Take it out completely. Hand over your whole self. All your desires, even those desires that you think are innocent, those desires you think are okay, not just the ones you think are wicked. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, I want the whole outfit and I will give you a new self. In fact, I won't just give you a new self. Jesus is saying, I will give you myself. My own will shall become your will. That's what Jesus is saying to us. That, saints, is the true gospel. And the true gospel understands that when Jesus calls us, it's not about us, it's about him. And yes, he calls us to rest, as I was saying earlier on. He calls us to time of rest. And don't get me wrong, you know, the gospel tells us that, you know, life in Jesus includes rest. It includes all those pleasures as well, pleasures forevermore. But there's more than that. And sadly, that's the hard part that a lot of people ignore. Too many versions of Christianity will tell you it's all about the rest. But there's much, much, much more to the Christian life than just resting. There's more to it than that. You see, even though they tell you about the rest in the story, they don't often tell you about the rest of the story, the other side. because faith without works is still dead. And today's scripture brings us face to face with the reality of the story that included, you know, with the rest, Jesus also offers us the cross. With the rest and the blessing and the healing, he also offers us crucifixion and death. Let's look again. He categorically says this. He says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And what he's saying is that following him is going to cost you. It's meant to cost you. If it's not costing you, you have to ask yourself, are you really following Jesus? It's meant to not just cost you, it's meant to cost you your life. Because if you lose your life for his sake, you will find a genuine life. You know, a genuine believer in Jesus doesn't just say, okay, Lord, I'm here now, what's in it for me? Excuse me. A genuine believer in Jesus says, Lord, I'm here now. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? A genuine believer says, Lord, tell me what to give. And the whole point of this sermon series is that it goes beyond logic. That is what going beyond logic is. Jesus goes beyond logic when he speaks to the disciples about the values of the kingdom. He talks about how greatness is not measured by how many servants you have. Greatness is measured by how much you are a servant. He talks about how living is not about how much you can gather, gain, and attain. Real living, you know, in terms of material wealth, material possessions. Real living is about giving, not gaining. And let's be honest, he who dies with the most toys doesn't win. Saints, nobody, there are no pockets in the grave. There are no pockets in the grave. I want you to think about your most prized material possession. Is it a piece of jewelry? Is it, for me, I think my most, maybe a watch. I have a watch that my wife gave me. You know, it's a nice watch. It's a nice watch. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Guess what? When I go, the watch will stay. I am not taking that nice watch with me. I'm not taking it anywhere. What did you say? Somebody said, oh, you could be buried with it. Like those folks in Nigeria, they said, I want to be buried in my Range Rover so I can drive into heaven. You dumb dumb. You know, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about a guy, you know, and this guy is he's trying to fill his barn. He's trying to fill it with material things. And he's filling it and he's filling it and he's filling it. And eventually he dies with an empty soul. Do you know that story? Some of you probably know that story. He was just filling it and filling it. And interestingly, excuse me, that's the only place in scripture where we see Jesus calling somebody a fool. It's the only place. It says, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then there's the other guy, you know, this wealthy, rich young ruler. You know, he was a leader in his community. This guy virtually had everything. You know, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, you've got everything, but you lack something. Huh? Say what? I lack something? I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he's got everything. He's rich, he's young, he's got life ahead of him. He's rich, he's got money, access to money, and he's ruling, so he's got power. And Jesus identified that he lacked something. He lacked freedom from his possessions. He was in bondage to his material possessions. Of course, Jesus is not talking against wealth. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Listen, let me say this also. I'll say this publicly. If you think there's a problem with wealth, I'll text you my bank details. You can put the money in there. All right? Okay, I just want to be clear on that. So there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with wealth. But it's how you use it. What Jesus was doing with this rich young ruler was he was issuing a warning that we are not overcome by the blessings of God. Too many times in our lives, we put the gift above the giver. And Jesus was telling us not to do that. Again, brothers and sisters, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Listen, going beyond logic is something that actually came with the territory for the first generation of Christians. These guys, you know, they were out there living it. And honestly, they were being slaughtered. You know, if you look at the early Roman Empire after Christ, you know, after Christ's ascension in the early Christianity, there were crosses of execution everywhere. There were Christians buried all over the place. And these are people who paid with their lives. I want you to imagine, let me read this. I want you to imagine what it's like, you know, excuse me, this come and be a Christian thing. I want you to imagine it as a job description or a job advert. Wanted, someone who's enthusiastic, committed to joining a life-changing and a world-changing program. That's not bad, right? That's not bad. That sounds good. Ooh. The ideal candidate must work well with others. That's good, right? I get along well with others. You know, many of us do. Must be willing to travel and work hard in serving others. Woo! Get my passport ready. This looks good. I'm jetting off. Hey, first class, business class. Let's go. I like the sound of this job. Yeah, this person will agree to put others first, all right, and to love those who oppose them. I don't understand. What kind of job is it? Love those who oppose me? What kind of job is this? Well, you know what? The money better be good, right? If I'm expected to do that, the money better be good. And then the job goes, there is no financial compensation. And your compensation might be rejection and even death. You go, what? What? Because if my compensation is rejection and death, and then it says, you know, but the leader will be very pleased, and the cause would be advanced. You say, well, it's not about me. It's about the leader and the cause. What about me? How many people would apply for a job like that? Let me answer the question. Everybody in this room has applied for a job like that. If you're a believer, you've already filled in the form. You've already applied for the job. You're already in. How are you doing in your role? I honor you. I serve you, Lord. But what do I get? What about me? Like I often say, it's not about you. Get over yourself. As we've read today, Jesus told his disciples he's going to be executed. He said it. At the hands of the Romans, I'm going to be executed. Peter wild out. Peter was like, what? No, Lord, no, Lord. You know, and he says, I'm going to be executed. And immediately after that, he says, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. Go the same way. Sorry, what? No. You go ahead and be executed. What's that going to do with me? Let me tell you something about me as an individual. I cannot stand super religious people. I really can't stand it. I just can't stand it. But spirit-filled people, people who have a relationship with God, people who are hungering and thirsting after God's presence, oh man, I'm drawn to those people like ants are drawn to sugar. Trust me, I'm drawn. And that's why I love you, Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, the best church in the whole wide world. Yeah, that's what we believe. You know, because the truth of it is those people who have had a real God encounter, people who have really connected with God, you don't have to fake your way through anything. You don't have to fake your way through life. You don't fake your way through church. You know that not every day is rosy, and you're okay with that. But what's important is your faith. What's important is God's grace. Remember what Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And saints, the ultimate denial is the denial of life. The ultimate denial is the denial of life. Will you pay that price?
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.